Jesus love is very wonderful. Jesus love is very wonderful. Jesus love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high I can't get over it. So low I can't get under it. So wide can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus love is very wonderful. Jesus love is very wonderful. Jesus love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high can't get over it. So low can't get under it. So wide can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Hello again and welcome to another Holy Half Hour here on 3TFM with me, the Reverend Alec Noble, Minister of Saltcoats North Parish Church. And I have with me in the studio again tonight Mrs. Betty Hutton. Recently we were making a programme on New Testament parables and I was talking, Betty was reading. Tonight we're going to do the other half, Old Testament parables. People might be surprised at that because the famous parables of Jesus are all in the New Testament. But I can assure you, and you're about to discover, some of the Old Testament parables. So, without further ado, let me ask you, Betty, if you would read the first one. It's about the ant in Proverbs.
Lazy people should learn a lesson from the way ants live. They have no leader, chief, or ruler, but they store up their food during the summer, getting ready for winter. How long is the lazy man going to lie in bed? When is he ever going to get up? I'll just take a short nap, he says. I'll fold my hands and rest a while. But while he sleeps, poverty will attack him like an armed robber.
He's running down the pavement as quickly as can be with a piece of honey sandwich that used to belong to me. His legs are very tiny, but look at how they go. And if you try to stop him, he might bite you on the toe. Look at the ant. Look at the ant. He's very, very busy, he doesn't stop to slack. And look at the size of the crumb that's on his back. I wonder where he's going, he's climbing down a hole. He's gone to feed the baby ants nesting down below. Look at the ant. So if you're feeling lazy and won't get out of bed, remember the ways of the little ant instead. He doesn't stop to grumble, he's always full of them. And that's why the Bible says that we should look to him. Look at the ant. Look at the ant. He's running down the pavement as quickly as can be with a piece of honey sandwich that used to belong to me. His legs are very tiny, but look at how they go. And if you try to stop him, he might bite you on the toe. Look at the ant. Look at the ant. He's very, very busy, he doesn't stop to slack. And look at the size of the crumb that's on his back. I wonder where he's going, he's climbing down a hole. He's gone to feed the baby ants nesting down below. Look at the ant. So if you're feeling lazy and won't get out of bed, remember the ways of the little ant instead. He doesn't stop to grumble, he's always full of them. And that's why the Bible says that we should look to him. Yes, if you're feeling lazy and won't get out of bed, remember the ways of the little ant instead. He doesn't stop to grumble, he's always full of them. And that's why the Bible says, that's why the Bible says, that's why the Bible says that we should look to him. Look at the ant.
So don't be lazy, be like an ant. Here's a man who works hard, the potter, working his clay. It's a parable and a picture of God and his influence and work upon us, followed by John Denver singing the potter's wheel.
The Lord said to me, go down to the potter's house, where I will give you my message. So I went there and saw the potter working at his wheel. Whenever a piece of pottery turned out imperfect, he would take the clay and make it into something else. Then the Lord said to me, "Haven't I the right to do with you people of Israel what the potter did with the clay? You are in my hands, just like clay in the potter's hands. If at any time I say that I am going to uproot, break down, or destroy any nation or kingdom, but then that nation turns from its evil, I will not do what I said I would. On the other hand, if I say that I am going to plant or build up any nation or kingdom, but then that nation disobeys me and does evil, I will not do what I said I would. Now then, tell the people of Judah and of Jerusalem that I am making plans against them and getting ready to punish them. Tell them to stop living sinful lives, to change their ways and the things they are doing.
Take a little clay, put it on a wheel, get a little hint how God must feel. Get a little burn, listen to it spin, make it in the shape you want it in. Tell with your life a bloody story. Teach to their dreams not burning steel. It's not in bombs where lies the glory, but in what's shattered on the field. The potter's wheel takes love and caring, skill and patience, fast and slow. The works it makes are easily broken once they survive the potter's throw. Take a little clay, put it on a wheel, get a little hint how God must feel. Give a little turn, listen to it spin, make it in the shape you want it in.
Here's another Old Testament parable about the immoral woman. Proverbs has a lot to say about the immoral woman, how she leads people astray. And it's followed by a song by Kenny Rogers all about Ruby.
Once I was looking out of the window of my house and I saw many inexperienced young men, but noticed one foolish fellow in particular. He was walking along the street near the corner where a certain woman lived. He was passing near her house in the evening after it was dark, and then she met him. She was dressed like a prostitute and was making plans. She was a bold and shameless woman who always walked the streets or stood waiting at a corner, sometimes in the streets, sometimes in the marketplace. She threw her arms round the young man, kissed him, looked him straight in the eye and said, "I made my offerings today and have the meat for the sacrifices. So I came out looking for you. I wanted to find you, and here you are. I've covered my bed with sheets of coloured linen from Egypt. I've perfumed it with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come on, let's make love all night long. We'll be happy in each other's arms. My husband isn't at home. He's gone away on a long journey. He took plenty of money with him and won't be back for 2 weeks." So she tempted him with her charms, and he gave in to her smooth talk. Suddenly, he was going with her like an ox on the way to be slaughtered, like a deer prancing into a trap, where an arrow would pierce its heart. She was like a bird going into a net. He did not know that his life was in danger. "Now then, my sons, listen to me. Pay attention to what I say. Do not let such a woman win your heart. Don't go wandering after her. She has been the ruin of many men and caused the death of too many to count. If you go to her house, you are on the way to the world of the dead. It is a shortcut to death."
You've painted up your lips and rolled and curled your tinted hair. Ruby, are you contemplating going out somewhere? shadow on the wall tells me the sun is going down. Oh, Ruby, don't take your love to town. It wasn't me that started that old crazy Asian war, but I was proud to go and do my patriotic chore. And yes, it's true that I'm not the man I used to be. Oh, still need some company. It's hard to love a man whose legs are bent and paralyzed. And the wants and the needs of a woman your age, Ruby, I realize. But it won't be long, I've heard them say, until I'm not around. Take your love to town. She's leaving now, 'cause I just heard the slamming of the door. The way I know, I've heard it slam 100 times before. And if I could move, I'd get my gun and put her in the ground. Oh, Ruby, don't take your love to town.
I don't know if you've noticed yet, but I think you might by the end of the programme. Nearly every parable in these Old Testament selection, and these are a selection of the parables that are out there to be had, almost all the parables are to do with the one theme. God is immensely frustrated by his own people. He tells them about the ant because they're lazy, the potter and the clay that they're misshapen, he's tempted to start again. His dealings with his people, they're an immoral people, they run off after other gods. And the next one is on the same theme, God's vineyard that produces sour grapes. Bonnie Tyler's song to follow sort of sums up God's feelings on the subject.
Listen while I sing you this song, a song of my friend and his vineyard. My friend had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug the soil and cleared it of stones. He planted the finest vines. He built a tower to guard them, dug a pit for treading the grapes. He waited for the grapes to ripen, but every grape was sour. So now, my friend says, you people who live in Jerusalem and Judah, judge between my vineyard and me. Is there anything I fail to do for it? Then why did it produce sour grapes and not the good grapes I expected? This is what I'm going to do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge round it, break down the wall that protects it, and let wild animals eat it and trample it down. I will let it be overgrown with weeds. I will not prune the vines or hoe the ground. Instead, I will let briars and thorns cover it. I will even forbid the clouds to rain on it. Israel is the vineyard of the Lord Almighty.
Turn around, bright eyes. Every now and then I fall apart. Turn around, bright eyes. Every now and then I fall apart. nothing I can do. A total eclipse of the heart. Once upon a time there was light in my life, but now there's only love in the dark. Nothing I can say. A total eclipse of the heart.
Parables are not only stories. You can have parabolic actions. When God gets frustrated with his people and the stories are not working, he's sometimes called on his prophets to do symbolic actions. And in one case, he called on the prophet Hosea to marry a woman, Gomer, and he told Hosea, "She will be unfaithful to you." But that's a good parable, a picture of how Israel is to me, and they'll see it when they look at you too.
When the Lord first spoke to Israel through Hosea, he said to Hosea, "Go and get married. Your wife will be unfaithful and your children will be just like her. In the same way, my people have left me and become unfaithful." So Hosea married a woman named Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim. After the birth of their first child, a son, the Lord said to Hosea, "Name him Jezreel, because it will not be long before I punish the king of Israel for the murders that his ancestor Jehu committed at Jezreel. I am going to put an end to Jehu's dynasty, and in the valley of Jezreel I will at that time destroy Israel's military power." Gomer had a second child. This time it was a girl. The Lord said to Hosea, "Name her Unloved, because I will no longer show love to the people of Israel or forgive them. But to the people of Judah I will show love. The Lord their God will save them, but I will not do it by war, with swords or bows and arrows, or with horses and horsemen." After Gomer had weaned her daughter, she became pregnant again and had another son. The Lord said to Hosea, "Name him not my people, because the people of Israel are not my people, and I am not their God. Israel, I will make you my wife. I will be true and faithful. I will show you constant love and mercy, and make you mine forever. I will keep my promise and make you mine, and you will acknowledge me as Lord. At that time, I will answer the prayers of my people, Israel. I will make rain fall on the earth, and the earth will produce corn and grapes and olives. I will establish my people in the land and make them prosper. I will show love to those who were called unloved, and to those who were called not my people. I will say, 'You are my people,' and they will answer, 'You are our God.'"
God swings from being hurt by the unfaithfulness to a reaffirming of his commitment to them. Here's Kenny Rogers with the same problem with Lucille.
In a bar in Toledo, across from the depot, on a bar stool she took off her ring. I thought I'd get closer, so I walked on over. I sat down and asked her her name. When the drinks finally hit her, she said, "I'm no quitter, but I finally quit living on dreams. I'm hungry for laughter, and here ever after, I'm after whatever the other life brings." In the mirror I saw him, and I closely watched him. I thought how he looked out of place. He came to the woman who sat there beside me. He had a strange look on his face. The big hands were calloused, You look like a mountain. For a minute I thought I was dead. But he started shaking, his big heart was breaking. He turned to the woman and said, you picked a fine time to leave me, Lucille, with 400 children and a crop in the field. I've had some bad times, lived through some sad times, but this time you're hurting won't heal. You picked a fine time to leave me. More whiskey. I thought how she'd made him look small. From the lights of the bar room to a rented hotel room, we walked without talking at all. She was a beauty, but when she came to me, she must have thought I'd lost my mind. I couldn't hold her. That he told her kept coming back time after time. You picked a fine time to leave me, Lucy, with 400 children and a crop in the field. I've had some bad times, lived through some sad times, but this time you're hurting won't heal. You picked a fine time. Picked a fine time to leave me, Lucy.
Here's another very famous Old Testament parable. It's that of the Valley of Dry Bones in Ezekiel chapter 37.
I felt the powerful presence of the Lord, and his spirit took me and set me down in a valley where the ground was covered with bones. He led me all round the valley, and I could see that there were very many bones and that they were very dry. He said to me, mortal man, can these bones come back to life? I replied, Sovereign Lord, only you can answer that. He said, prophesy to the bones, tell these dry bones to listen to the word of the Lord. Tell them that I, the Sovereign Lord, am saying to them, I am going to put breath into you and bring you back to life. I will give you sinews and muscles and cover you with skin. I will put breath into you and bring you back to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I had been told. While I was speaking, I heard a rattling noise and the bones began to join together. While I watched, the bones were covered with sinews and muscles and then with skin, but there was no breath in the bodies. God said to me, mortal man, prophesy to the wind. Tell the wind that the Sovereign Lord commands it to come from every direction, to breathe into these dead bodies and to bring them back to life. So I prophesied as I had been told. Breath entered the bodies, and they came to life and stood up. There were enough of them to form an army. God said to me, mortal man, the people of Israel are like these bones. They say that they are dried up, without any hope, and with no future. So prophesy to my people Israel, and tell them that I, the Sovereign Lord, am going to open their graves. I am going to take them out and bring them back to the land of Israel. When I open the graves where my people are buried and bring them out, they will know that I am the Lord. I will put breath into them, bring them back to life, and let them live in their own land. Then they will know that I am the Lord. I have promised that. I would do this, and I will. I, the Lord, have spoken.
might these bones rise once more? What else was I to say but you alone can tell, oh Lord? A legion hour alive, a resurrected army, a living holy host of a people born again. Then prophesy, oh Son of Man, cry out to this dead horde, and when they come to life again, they'll know I am the Lord. And as I spoke what I was told, there came a rattling sound. As bone to bone they formed a mass of bodies on the ground. Your dead will come alive, their graves will lie abandoned, and all the dwellings for joy. And then I called upon the winds, upon these slain to breathe. At once they stood upon their feet, a mighty vast army. A legion now alive, a resurrected army, a living holy host of a people born again. Your dead will come alive, their graves will lie abandoned, and all those dwelling in the dust will wake and shout for joy.
I'm sure you've heard the famous song Hallelujah by Leonard Cohen, or made famous more recently by Alexandra Burke. The background to that song is that David fancied Bathsheba, but unfortunately for him, she was married to Uriah. So David had a clever ploy of putting Uriah in the front line of the next battle in the hope he would get killed so he could marry the widow. His plan worked wonderfully and he was rejoicing, Hallelujah. Unfortunately, it came with a guilt trip, and he was ashamed of what he did later on. God sent the prophet Nathan to tell David the error of his ways, as in this passage, 2 Samuel chapter 12.
The Lord sent the prophet Nathan to David. Nathan went to him and said, "There were two men who lived in the same town. One was rich and the other poor. The rich man had many cattle and sheep, while the poor man had only one lamb, which he had bought. He took care of it, and it grew up in his home with his children. He would feed it with some of his own food, let it drink from his cup, and hold it in his lap. The lamb was like a daughter to him. One day, a visitor arrived at the rich man's home. The rich man didn't want to kill one of his own animals to prepare a meal for him. Instead, he took the poor man's lamb and cooked a meal for his guest. David was very angry with the rich man and said, 'I swear by the living Lord that the man who did this ought to die. For having done such a cruel thing, he must pay back four times as much as he took.' 'You are that man,' Nathan said to David, 'and this is what the Lord God of Israel says. I made you king of Israel and rescued you from Saul. I gave you his kingdom and his wives. I made you king over Israel and Judah. If this had not been enough, I would have given you twice as much. Why then have you disobeyed my commands? Why did you do this evil thing? You had Uriah killed in battle. You let the Ammonites kill him. And then you took his wife. I have sinned against the Lord,' David said. Nathan replied, 'The Lord forgives you. You will not die.'"
I heard there was a secret chord that David played, and it pleased the Lord. But you don't really care for music, do ya? Well, it goes like this, the fourth and fifth, the minor fall and the major lift, the baffled king composing hallelujah. 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 Well, your faith was strong, but you needed proof. You saw her baby on the roof, her beauty and the moonlight overthrew ya. She tied you to her kitchen chair, she broke your throne and she cut your hair, and from your lips she drew the hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
David responded to Nathan's parable and repented. Radio broadcasters and preachers and folk who speak often wonder if people have ears to hear. Jesus actually used the phrase, "If you have ears to hear my parables." They were all quoting the original version of "ears to hear," which is from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 6.
So he told me to go and give the people this message. No matter how much you listen, you will not understand. No matter how much you look, you will not know what is happening. Then he said to me, "Make the minds of these people dull, their ears deaf, and their eyes blind, so that they cannot see or hear or understand. If they did, they might turn to me and be healed." I asked, "How long will it be like this, Lord?" He answered, "Until the cities are ruined and empty, until the houses are uninhabited, until the land itself is a desolate waste, I will send the people far away and make the whole land desolate. Even if one person out of 10 remains in the land, he too will be destroyed. He will be like the stump of an oak tree that has been cut down."
But out of stumps can grow little shoots. And there's always in the parable of the sower, some seed lands on fertile ground. So if you have ears to hear all these parables, the Old Testament and the New Testament ones, then I hope you will hear and respond in the way that Jesus always meant us to. So thanks for listening tonight. Thank you, Betty, for doing the readings.
Thank you.
And I leave you with Michael Card asking, will you listen?
Is not he who formed the ear worth the time it takes to hear? Should he who formed our lips for speaking be not heeded when he speaks? Will you not listen? Why won't you listen? God has spoken love to us. Why will you not listen? Listen to the sacred silence. Listen to the holy word. Listen as he speaks through living parables that must be heard. Parables that must be heard. Will you not listen? Why won't you listen? God has spoken peace to us. Why will you not listen? Why will you not listen? He spoke a word of flesh and blood. Flesh and blood that bled and died. Bled and died just to be heard. How could you not hear this word? Why will you not hear this word? Will you not listen? Why won't you listen? God has spoken hope to us. How could you not listen? Why will you not listen? How could you not listen?